much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse. And we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry. It's going to change.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Anyway, here's something that I played earlier on the show. You might enjoy. I hope you did. It's this guy named,
what's the rapping going on? Hello?
I lost the CD, but here it is. It's on the floor. How'd it get on the floor? Anyway.
First off, I want to say you're very good at your craft work.
And now.
White guy power. That's white guy. All right, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. White guy power.
Our feature presentation.
You're very good at your craft work.
Well,
yeah.
Hard to argue, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning.
We should be the white guy power show, don't you guys think?
I don't think that's a good idea.
Nobody could have any problem with that. We're a bunch of white guys and we're powerful.
We're not all white guys, number one.
The ones that count.
Hey, we're not powerful, number two.
And there's a girl right here.
Like, I'm just saying.
Right here all the time.
That's true.
So that really wouldn't work anyway.
Aren't girls 3/5 of a human? Come on, Lisa.
I think denied.
Denied.
Okay. So we're not going to be the white guy power show.
No.
I love this story so much, and it's become increasingly a problem with social media and whatnot. But spoiler alerts, as you know, are the bane of a lot of people's existence. And sometimes it's not your fault. It's not that you're not trying to watch something, but you know it's on at 10 o'clock at night or something. You just can't. So you're watching it the next day, and then of course it all gets spoiled for you before that happens.
Right.
Increasingly, that's a problem for. I mean, you can't go on Facebook, for instance, if there's a show on that you care about because people are going to write about it. It's just that's the world we live in.
I went to a friend's house to watch the UFC on Saturday night, and we taped it and we watched it a little bit later on in the night, like 10:30 is when we started. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I showed up, he's like, "You don't have your phone on, do you?" Because
really?
I don't want a spoiler. And he was watching a basketball game on another network. He's like, "Oh, if something scrolls across the bottom, let me know." I mean, it really is difficult to stay away from results now, especially if you're on a sports channel.
Yeah. And sports, by the way, that's the one thing that people do, for the most part, seem to watch live. I mean, you taped the UFC fight, but most people watch most sports live, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I do, yeah.
Because it is one of those things that, for whatever reason, it's important to watch live. Well, anyway, that's where this story picks up, because this guy in Minnesota is a big fan of the Golden Gophers, and I assume that he, this time of year, must have been watching either basketball or hockey.
Go Gophers!
Right? And that's the University of Minnesota, I think, right?
I don't know.
So anyway, so he DVR'd the game from the night before, and he was at home watching the game on his DVR from the night before, had managed to escape spoiler alerts throughout the night and the morning, and was now sitting down watching his game, as you might do, Kevin, for the Lakers, say.
Sure.
Well, at the same time he's watching the game, a utility worker shows up to work on the power lines outside his house, and she is listening to sports talk radio. And on the radio that he can hear from his home is the Crazy Eddie and Walrus show.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Talking about the score of the game really, really loudly. So now the game is spoiled. He's in his house watching the game, and now he knows how it ends because this person pulls up out in front of his house and is cranking the radio.
Right.
So what do you do if you're this guy? Well, you threaten to shoot the utility worker.
What?
And throws a big knife in her general direction, setting off a chain of events requiring police negotiators and a SWAT team.
Wow.
Man, oh man. His name is Dan Drobach. He's 32 years old from Eagan, Minnesota. No prior criminal record. He's now been charged with felony terrorist threats, by the way. The contractor told police she was working on a utility box and playing the sports station loudly so she could hear it while she worked. She said the man yelled at her, came out of the house screaming, "I'm not killing, I'm going to effing shoot you." Officers found a large kitchen knife in the snow about 10 feet from the utility box. The utility worker called 911, and the police showed up with a SWAT team. They shut down the streets. They sent pre-recorded messages to the neighbors ordering them to stay inside until the incident was over. They coordinated bus routes with local schools, and there was a 3-hour standoff, at which point they arrested the man without incident.
Oh, my God. That sounds crazy.
Wow. This guy really didn't want to know how that game ended.
Did the message that the police sent to the neighbors say, because of the Gophers' loss, there's a big problem?
I don't know. It doesn't say that here. But look, that's a crazy overreaction. There's no question. But what a hilarious turn of events, right?
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
The man admitted yelling out of his window, but believed he just heard the person that told turn the radio off. He denied throwing a knife at the contractor, but admitted he owned a knife set that matched the knife police found in the snow.
What a coincidence, considering he didn't throw it.
So go Golden Gophers, indeed. That's one of my favorite stories I've seen in a while.
You know what we learned by doing the show is that sometimes you get stuff spoiled. And it's,
all the time I get stuff spoiled in this room.
And here's the deal. Really not the
gotta end get
of
over
it. Not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd rather not, of course. You try to avoid it, of course. You don't want it to be spoiled, but when it gets spoiled, you're still okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to suggest. Ow.
Ow.
This just happened.
Sorry.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
When God is for you, who can be against you?
That's a good point.
I don't think God's for us.
No, I agree. The Walking Dead is coming back on Sunday.
Sure the hell is.
Come on with the come on. And we have Daryl in the studio today, Norman Reedus.
Awesome.
Very excited about that. Boy, it seems like, you know, sometimes, like when that show went off the air for the holiday break, it seemed like forever, February 10th or whatever the date's going to be, was just a couple of years from now.
I know.
I mean, it just
I know.
Seemed
We're
like forever.
No.
Right? Now it's here.
Now it's back. So happy. Roman Coppola will be in the studio today.
Very cool. I love him so much. He's the best.
Talking about Moonrise Kingdom and the Oscar nomination, a brand new movie he's working on. Comedian Ari Schaefer is here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today. We have a new fantastic internet video that we'd like to introduce you to.
Okay.
Crazy Homeless Hatchet Guy.
That sounds fun.
Is what we're calling it.
Why hasn't he been auto-tuned yet, by the way?
I don't know.
Give it a day.
Let's give it a day, yeah. And also we have those tickets for you for the Grammy pre-party, which is basically a concert with Muse.
Oh, that's okay.
In a room that holds not even 150 people, I think. So
nice.
It's going to be a tiny room, and it's going to be a big band. And we're not going to tell you who it is. Oh, wait, we just did. So we got your tickets coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7
KROQ. I win.
It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
I win.
That's too early for that kind of conversation.
When I woke up this morning, I in no way expected Ralph to try to talk Kevin into having sex with a man.
That's what happened.
Expect that.
A man with himself.
5:54, it's Tuesday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Have you guys seen the Will Ferrell Super Bowl commercial?
Yes.
Old Milwaukee beer.
Love it so much.
Come on.
And make it out of that
woman
on the bus.
Come on with how funny he is.
He's the best.
He's the best.
It's inspired. It's like
he's the funniest guy in comedy.
It's cool and weird and then hilarious at the same time. How often do you get that combination?
And inexplicable.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
it doesn't
no
make sense
whatsoever. That's why it's just wet your pants funny.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on YouTube. It only played in three minor markets around the United States again.
Of course.
He releases these commercials in very small markets, and I think that makes it even funnier for some reason.
It's just bizarre.
But it is Will. On a bus. But first, it's tight on an Asian woman who's looking out a window longingly with sort of Japanese music playing in the background.
And she's like 50 or 60 or something, right?
60, easily 60. And then it pulls back, and there's Wilson next to her, just sporting the biggest Ron Burgundy mustache you've ever seen in your life.
And then a tank top.
And then they just make out hard as the camera pulls back to reveal someone else holding a grocery bag with Old Milwaukee beer on the top of it. And then it pushes back in, and it's just them making out. And that's the end of the commercial.
Then it ends, and you go, what?
What did I just see?
Yeah.
Sure makes you thirsty for
it's fantastic.
An Old Milwaukee, though. The reason I bring it up is because we are getting more and more updates about Anchorman 2, the sequel, the movie for which Will grew that giant bushy mustache. Christina Applegate announced the news via Twitter this week that it's great to have the old cast along with her new buddy, Kristen Wiig, who will also star in the film.
Fantastic.
Kristen will have a new role in the film. According to Paramount Pictures, rumor has it that she will play the wife of Steve Carell's character, Brick Tamlin.
He got
the
married?
The weatherman. Yeah.
No way.
But if she's as dumb as he is, that could be a hilarious combo. So.
Bitchin'.
So that could be very funny. Foo's in the news. Foo Fighters are working once again alongside former member of Creedence Clearwater Revival band John Fogerty. Now, Fogerty was there for the Sound City event that they did where they showed that movie, and he played along with Dave and the guys, revisiting some of his hits. And now he's releasing an all-star duets album called Wrote a Song for Everybody, which will be out in the end of May. It features John going back through all of his CCR catalog and then whipping out new versions with guys he likes to work with, like Foo Fighters. They'll be doing a song with him. Bob Seger will be doing a duet with John Fogerty. My Morning Jacket. Jennifer Hudson. It's an eclectic group of artists he's duetting
Sounds
with.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
But I think it could be very interesting. National Pancake Day, everybody. National Pancake Day.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Look at Beer Mug.
What do you mean, boo?
Why
How
you
could
booing?
You boo National Pancake Day?
This is
Day?
Like Christmas for you.
I have a system in my life, and it's very difficult for me to break out of it. And Tuesdays are the days that I go to IHOP. And today's Tuesday,
right?
And my IHOP is just going to be swarming with people. It's going to be like St. Patrick's Day at a bar. You know what I mean? It's just it's not even going to be worth going today because
I'm
going to
suggest no, it's not.
Yeah, you know what? It's not going to be like St. Patrick's Day at a bar.
It is. It'll be lines out the door for a free short stack.
Listen to
Rain hassle.
Man up there.
But on St. Patrick's Day, I like to go to bars because it's filled with people and they're doing the same thing I like to do, which is drink and have a good time.
Leave
so you'll
my
be
IHOP
amongst
alone.
Your people.
No, I can't. I'm not going. I'm not even going to go to it. I'm just going to skip it this week.
How are you
going
to break out of your Tuesday is IHOP day pattern?
He won't be able to.
Rain Man?
I keep some pancakes in the freezer for special occasions, so I'll just have to break those out.
Wow.
So, please enjoy the free short stacks today.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Too goddamn many other people's the problem.
Yeah, definitely Tuesday. Definitely IHOP day.
Tuesday's my IHOP day.
Uh-oh, gotta get pancakes. Yeah.
But what happens if you don't go on Tuesday?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I'll find out.
Oh, Beth Waterburn baby. Oh.
He's going to have a meltdown.
I don't like it. I'll tell you that. I've been upset all week long realizing this was coming. Don't like it one bit. I can't go to Denny's either. That's Thursday.
Dear
so,
Lord.
How many people do you
Dear
know?
Dear Lord.
How many people do you know that have a restaurant that they have to go to on a certain day?
I like things to be organized, you guys.
That's not organized. That's way over the top. You crazy.
It works for me.
Damn.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, indeed. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our very own Miss Double December for 2013 Luck celebrates her birthday today.
She's the best.
We want to make sure we give her a special shout out. No way she's awake yet, but maybe some of her friends are. They can pass along our.
She's so hot that I bet she's rarely up before noon.
She doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
She's only up till noon if she's getting in from the night before at noon.
Right.
I bet that happens sometimes. But.
Big ones, right?
Yeah. Actor Darren Criss from Glee is 26 years old. Singer Bobby Brown celebrates his 44th birthday today. Actor Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live is 46. Duff McKagan, Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses, is 49. Laura Linney, lovely and talented actress from The Big C and other feature films, is 49 years old. Jennifer Jason Leigh, remember her from Fast Times at Ridgemont High originally, and she's also in Weeds, 51. And Tim Meadows, another Saturday Night Live alum, he is 52. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'd like to say we have a little bit of something for everybody on today's program. Comedian Ari Shaffir will be joining us next hour. Great screenwriter Roman Coppola is going to be in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. And from The Walking Dead, he's Daryl, don't you know, actor Norman Reedus. That's all coming up this morning between now and 10 on K-Rock.
Walking Dead coming back this Sunday.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. We have too many animal stories. We put them on a wheel. It's called The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Here are the stories on the wheel that it might land on today.
All right.
The Brazilian wandering spider.
Okay.
Holly the cat who walked 200 miles to get home.
Holly.
The Brazilian penis snake.
Yes.
Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. It's been on here for too long.
Yeah.
Kansas stoner mice. Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Thurston Howell the third from the rich cats of Instagram.
Where's Thurston Howell? How many times in a row are we going to spin this goddamn wheel?
Killer Asian tiger mosquitoes. Vicious British underground mice. Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
He's going to die of old age, dude, if it doesn't land on him.
That's right. So let's get right into it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
No.
It's going to be pretty bad, but
Carl the Third. Come on, person. Come on, person.
Good.
Come on, person.
Good. Kansas stoner mice. Sorry, B. Yeah! Kansas stoner mice. Wichita police in Kansas are hot on the tail of mice that chewed through bags of marijuana kept in police storage facilities.
Well, sure, that makes sense. They would go for food like that, yeah.
Three packages were evidence seized during an arrest in 2009. So they had this weed in lockup, and it was evidence, and the mice said, hey, that smells good. I'm going to go have me some of that.
They apparently
nested in the pot and ate some of it, and the police lieutenant, Doug Nolte, said, quote, we've got some mice that are stoners.
Well, we asked producer Dave to find out more about this story. So I believe on the line we have the police station in Wichita, Kansas this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see who's there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, we're calling about the stoner mice.
Man, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm really good.
Who are we speaking with today?
My name's Kyle.
Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
Hi, man. How are you?
We're good.
You're on the phone.
We're not as good as you, but we're good.
I can hear your voice through a box.
Right. Right. It's telephone.
That's crazy, man.
How much pot was there, Kyle?
Yeah, don't make him think, Bean.
Okay, a lot. Let's just say there's a lot of pot.
How many mice are there that are partaking?
Three,
okay.
Three bags of pot,
I see, yeah. Okay.
Okay, how many mice, then, is our follow-up question.
Oh, man.
Me.
How?
Right.
Dave. Carl,
yeah, that's three.
Carl.
You already said Carl. All right. Are there two Carls or?
What?
Did you count Carl twice or are there two Carls? I feel like we're off the topic here.
Hold on.
Three mice.
Me.
Don't worry about it.
Carl.
Doesn't matter.
Dave.
All right. That's three.
Alan.
Oh, Alan.
All right,
okay.
Four.
Clark.
Five.
Dave.
A different Dave or same Dave?
What?
Never mind. Never mind. All right. So you guys burrow into the police station, basically, and then how excited were you when you realized all this marijuana was in the evidence locker?
We didn't even know what it was, man. It's like, hey, there's some stuff in there. It smells good. Maybe we can, like, make bedding out of it or something, you know?
Right.
And so we just started gnawing our way through like we do.
Right.
And, you know, we were starting to, you know, move it around and make a bed out of it. Then said, let's try some of this. Maybe you can eat it, you know. And then next thing you know, man, Carl's like, look at me. And he's like dancing and stuff. And I'm like, Carl, what's up with you, man? He's like, this is the greatest food we've ever eaten, dude. And then Jane says, yeah, watch this. And he pulls out a bong. I was like, what's that?
Where did Dave get a bong?
Well, it wasn't a bong. It was a pen cap.
Okay. They're mice, though.
He packed
it, man,
and he lit it up. And it was even better than eating it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys are having the time of your life. Now, aren't you starving, though, once you have all that pot? Doesn't that just make you hungry?
It does make us a little hungry, yeah. But luckily, there was they confiscated a carton of untaxed Cheetos.
Oh, is that right?
Also in the evidence room, man. So okay. We've just been flying through that stuff, man.
That's a party.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Now, according to the article, they called that exterminator. So he apparently hasn't arrived yet.
Well, if he has, man, he's not a very good exterminator because yeah. We're still here.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Up.
Oh, there's a little pen cap now.
Wow, this is old weed, man.
Yeah, it's from 2009.
It's a little stale.
Yeah.
But mice can't be choosers, you know what I'm saying? That's the old saying.
Is that what the old saying is?
Hey, there's Carl, there's Dave,
Five. We gotta go. All right. We gotta go. Thank you.
Seven!
Comedian Ari Shaffir joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, you are listening for a chance Friday to be at a very special event that you can't buy tickets for. It's a pre-Grammy party with the band Muse. We were just told that the room is like 25 feet square, right?
Yeah, if that, yeah. Yeah. people are going to have to sit on top of each other's shoulders.
Yeah. So you're going to be pretty crammed into a tiny little room while Muse is playing. And we got tickets that you can get for that coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Meech on K-Rock.
So a dude in Fresno picks up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker is clearly the highest person on this planet. But then the dude turns out to be a racist, claiming that he's Jesus, and he needs to rid the world of black people.
Okay.
So racist Jesus is driving the car, and he sees a PG&E worker who happens to be African-American and pins him against a truck.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
And so racist Jesus is doing that. And then crazy hitchhiker, we find out later, a hatchet-wielding homeless guy saves the day.
Wait, hold on a sec. Hatchet-wielding homeless guy
is the
good guy in the story.
He's the good guy. If it weren't for him, some people would be dead. No one died.
Doesn't that sound like the homeless hatchet hitchhiker sounds like the sequel to the Hobo with a Shotgun movie?
Yeah, it really does. And you wouldn't think that he would, but listen to the interview that he gave the TV station. This is them reporting the story.
An absolute bizarre scene here in West Fresno at the corner of McKinley and Marks. A man claiming he's Jesus plows his car into a PG&E worker, pinning him against his truck because the worker was black. The man's passenger, who had a hatchet and innocent bystanders, come to the rescue.
Homeless hitchhiker Kai was in the passenger seat of the Oldsmobile when this all went down.
Homeless hitchhiker Kai with a hatchet.
Wow.
All right. Is sitting there, and he realizes that racist Jesus needs somebody to step in and, and regulate.
Who picks up a homeless guy with a hatchet who's hitchhiking? What's going on with racist Jesus and the decisions he's making?
Who picks up any hitchhiker? I mean, I'm sure he didn't know he had a hatchet, but at this point, Kai jumps out of the car and starts to do what needs to be done.
He comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ, and I can do anything I want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this guy right there, pinned him in between that truck.
Yeah! All right! I love Kai. He's my favorite new person.
The guy just went crazy and was trying to pull the guy from underneath the car in the truck, and then he gets in his car and tries to move the car in that, and we weren't going to let him do it.
Nope. You weren't going to let him do it, and neither was Kai, because Kai has a hatchet, people.
If you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here.
He just kept saying he was Jesus Christ, and he's going to save all of us and that, but we have to get... He used the N-word, meaning the black people, in that. He said we need to get them off the earth.
The African-American PG&E worker was rushed to the hospital and underwent surgery for non-life-threatening injuries.
He had a couple of broken legs, but that's it. He didn't die, and he's not in critical condition at all. And now back to Kai with the hatchet. What happened?
And these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like, a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
And that's what Tanya said saved her life. The driver is described as a big man, over 6 feet tall and 300 to 400 pounds. Kai, the homeless hitchhiker, didn't care.
That woman was in danger. He just finished what looked like, at the time, killing somebody. And if I hadn't done that, he would have killed more people.
As crazy as things got here, the best news is, somehow, luckily, none of the injuries suffered are life-threatening, and the guy driving that car is right where he belongs, in police custody.
Because of homeless hitchhiker with a hatchet guy, Kai.
And by the way, best eyewitness to a crime in TV history.
Second best behind Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. Oh, yeah. was that a fire?
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
She totally needs to get together with Kai.
Right. You forget what the story's even about. You just love her and you love this.
Smash, smash, smash.
Those are our kind of people right there.
106.7 K-Rock.
That song's killing me. Can you please turn it off?
Yeah, it's over.
Best.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Kevin Bean listener Edwin writes in, I love homeless hatchet man, you guys. Can he please replace beer mug or at least stand behind beer mug when he makes a mistake? Smash, smash, smash.
Oh, smash, like
smash, smash, smash,
smash. Yeah,
we got to get Kai in here to start running things. All right, 6:53, it's Tuesday. Time for Ralph and the Showbiz Beat.
It is Tuesday. You know what that means?
It's the Bachelor update. Can what happened last night with Tiara? She was well out of order.
No.
First of all,
ain't nobody got time for that.
You don't show up on a group date when you're not part of the group and then try to monopolize the Bachelor's time like she did.
No, no.
Just trying to get that sneaky head start above the two-on-one date, which I thought was well out of order and really just reprehensible on her
part. Oh, my God, no way.
How can he not see through her facade?
Ralph, we don't have
hot?
We don't have a feature called the Bachelor.
She is kind of hot.
That's how.
But she's hideous.
Guys never see that.
And all of the girls are coming up to him saying, "You know, she's really not the same person you're seeing. When she's in the house, she's just hell to be around, and everyone hates her." And he's like, "Okay, I'll take that in consideration." And he gives her another rose.
She's hot.
Meanwhile, Desiree's there, the lovely Ashley, who just could not be sweeter.
Hey, Ralph, is there no showbiz news at all today?
This is showbiz news. This is showbiz, baby.
You're talking about The Bachelor, though. You're aware of that, right?
So angry at Tiara last night.
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
Tonight, it's part two of the double Bachelor week.
No.
Back-to-back batches.
No.
Tiara looks like she falls through the ice into some freezing cold water.
No.
Oh, I'm dying. Hyperthermia.
No.
So she just does that so that, you know, she can get more attention, like she did when she fell down the stairs. We all see through you, Tiara.
What difference at this point does it make?
Just furious.
No!
Just furious with her.
No!
Hate her.
You can watch it if you want, Ralph, but I don't think we need a recap.
Selma, I think, is coming on strong. I was surprised. She was kind of a dark horse for me, but I think she's got a shot. What about you guys? You think she got a shot?
I don't watch that show.
You don't know what you're missing. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available in stores. Flight, starring Denzel Washington, is available on DVD today if you didn't check it out in the theaters. Resident Evil Retribution, starring Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez. Alex Cross with Tyler Perry. Yes!
There it is. There it is.
Woo! The most hated film of last year, Alex Cross, is available on DVD. You should buy one just to burn it. That's what I'm going to do.
But then he gets the money.
Oh, that's true. Here comes the boom. Oh, okay. Now we're talking. Kevin James is an MMA fighting teacher.
Smash, smash, smash.
What's going on? What are these movies they're making?
Didn't you see that one, Kevin?
I did not know.
I'm shocked.
It was probably just because I didn't have time, though.
You know what you do want to check out, though, is the Road to Red Rocks, the concert DVD with Mumford & Sons playing there at Red Rocks. Good stuff. CDs today, The Afterman, Ascension. By Coheed and Cambria. Wonderful, Glorious. That's the 2-CD deluxe edition set by Eels. Pedestrian Verse by Frightened Rabbit and All That Echoes by Josh Groban. Those are your new CDs today. You can check that out. TV shows on DVD. Southland, the complete second, third, and fourth seasons in one package coming out today. Southland right around the corner, by the way.
Right around the corner
for New Southland. It's a couple
Fantastic.
Weeks.
I hadn't heard that. That's outstanding news.
And Cougar Town. The complete third season, if you're so inclined, you can check those out. Here's a quick Ron Jeremy update. Good news, Ron apparently awakened as of Sunday and apparently was aware of his surroundings. He had been intubated and unconscious the entire weekend long post-surgery, and now apparently he's doing better.
Good.
Not out of the woods yet, but his...
he's in the woods?
His 94-year-old father tells the New York Daily News that he'll remain in intensive care for several days before they move him to another part of the hospital. But it looks like things are going in the right direction, so good stuff.
I had no idea it was that serious, that he was intubated in a coma. I mean, or unconscious. That's frightening.
Yeah. Well, he lost a lot of blood and had two major operations right there around his heart, so it was a bad deal. But it looks like he's going to be on the mend, we hope. And this is good geek news. Rumor has it, this comes from the Ain't It Cool News website, says that despite the other Star Wars films Disney has in the planning with J.J. Abrams at the helm, they're going to do a standalone Yoda spin-off movie.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yoda gets his own movie. A little green ass-kicking munchkin's going to get his own film. No word on whether it's going to be CGI or animated or live action, but looks like Yoda's going to get his own film. Listen, Disney needs to move plushies. Come on. We got to get a cute character in a movie now. Stat. Yoda meets Cars. The Yoda Toy Story. They also have plans to add a new extension to California Adventure Park down there in Anaheim to do a Star Wars section.
Ah.
So it looks like they will be upping the presence of Star Wars in their theme parks as well, that Disney. They know
Star Wars
doing.
Is never going away, right, Ralph?
Oh, no.
It's forever.
Star Wars will be the Wizard of Oz for generations to come. It'll be the childhood story that everyone knows. And this is hilarious. This is the best. You're the best, Donald Trump. Donald Trump went on Fox and Friends yesterday. That's their morning show. Hilarious morning show. I don't think they mean to be hilarious, but they are hilarious.
All right.
And said, yes, today it's true. I'm announcing that I am, in fact, suing Bill Maher for $5 million. What? This all stems from that appearance Bill Maher did on the Jay Leno show, where he was spoofing Trump's pledge to Obama that if he presented his birth certificate, that he would donate $5 million to the charity of his choice.
Right.
And Bill Maher said, I will give $5 million to charity if Trump can prove that he is not the son of an orangutan. So Trump and his lawyer released his birth certificate and a letter stating, this is the case, and now Trump is saying, where's my $5 million for charity? You have to pay up. And so now if he's officially suing Bill Maher for $5 million because he said, you made that statement, so now you have to back it up.
What
so
a jackass.
He's unable to recognize a joke when he sees it on the Tonight Show, for God's sakes.
Yeah, today, clearly, I'm very proud of myself.
You should be.
Clearly, Bill Maher didn't believe that Donald Trump was the son of a
ape. No, I think
clearly
pretty,
he was making a joke
obvious,
about him.
Yes.
Wow.
But Trump says it wasn't a joke. He said it with venom. In fact, he was nervous when he said it. Shut up. But I was thinking, this has to be a tough one for conservatives because first, they hate Bill Maher, but they also hate frivolous lawsuits.
Right.
So who do you hate in this situation?
I don't think they're fans of his either.
Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, Trump has a lot of fans with the right.
Some.
Yeah. But who do the conservatives hate in this situation?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
You have heard correctly, Oprah.
I think they support anyone who's not Donald Trump. That would be my suggestion.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live is 52 years old today. Actress Jennifer Jason Leigh is 51. Laura Linney is 49. Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses also turns 49 today. Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live and Suburgatory, he is 46. Bobby Brown is 44 years old today. Darren Criss from Glee celebrates his 26th birthday. And our very own Miss Double December 2013, Lux, celebrates her birthday today. I would like to blow out Lux's candle. Nope, okay. I have no idea what that means. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
And once again, that's the band right there, Muse. You'll be seeing this Friday night at the K-Rock pre-Grammy party. Details at krock.com. Your chance to win tickets coming up. Look, I love me some Justin Bieber, as you know. I'm a big fan of his music, but it's getting increasingly difficult to like the guy personally because, as we talked about with Harvey Levin on TMZ.com recently, every time you see this dude in the news, it's because he's getting in some sort of trouble.
A lot of us have problems with his music, though, as well.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
But he's always lending his car to the wrong guy or chewing out a fan for, you know, taking a photo or grabbing somebody's boob. You know, he's always doing all sorts of, you know, bad behavior. And now he apparently is just a dick because
he's been just a dick.
I think it's worse now. This interview that just came out with him in Billboard magazine, he pretty much has the wrong answer for every single question that's asked, doesn't he?
Well, you don't hear artists very often tooting their own horn. You don't hear. He said this in this interview. If you really don't enjoy the type of music I make and that's not you, okay, but don't say I'm not talented. If you haven't noticed, I wasn't made. I was found.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
When you hear somebody say that about themselves, don't you go,
yeah. And by the way, as he did have talent as a little kid, but he wouldn't be anywhere if he hadn't had a lot of help from people in the music business and people like Usher for mentoring him and Scooter Braun as manager. I mean, he had some people that shaped his career and made moves for him that enabled him to be as successful. It's not all Justin is what I'm saying.
Oh, you're crazy. It is.
Well, there's plenty other quotes in this Billboard article, but rather than us just read it, we thought let's get the story straight from the horse's mouth. Justin Bieber joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Justin,
what's with all the questions, bro?
Just said hey.
I just said hey. I haven't asked a single question.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me start with why are you a dick?
Where's my Grammy, eh?
Well, the Grammys decided not to nominate you.
I will not be there.
So what?
You weren't invited.
I was, but I'm not going.
Okay. I don't think you could get in if you wanted to.
I want to go anyway.
But you couldn't go.
I don't want to go.
You can't just show up.
I don't want to go.
That's fine, but they didn't.
I don't want to go.
There's no reason for you to be there. They
I don't want to go.
You were not nominated.
You're throwing a big tantrum.
Oh, Justin.
Here's your quote.
Whoa,
what happened, Justin?
I threw something.
Okay. All right.
This interview with Billboard magazine. My whole life I've dreamed of winning a Grammy. At this point, the excitement of that has gone down. I'm more excited just to make great music for my fans. That's just something. If it happens, it happens. So it's
look
no longer
at the scoreboard, bitch. Look at the scoreboard.
The scoreboard is everybody, everything. Justin Bieber zero.
Wrong, bitch.
What are you talking about?
Look at all the albums I sold. Look how many people love me. Everybody loves me.
They say there's a sophomore slump. You go on. I don't have one. It was really good to see 2012's Believe at the top. When I was when I was going on all these different talk shows, when it was number one album of the year.
Yeah.
Just hearing that it was the number one album of the year.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, that's a really great feeling. And then the Billboard points out that it topped at number 11. It never went to number one.
Was it no, it, not for the year. Oh, it was the number 11 album of the year, right.
What?
It was number 11. It wasn't number one.
I hate Billboard.
But think about all the artists.
My Grammy.
Like Mumford & Sons and Adele and all the other, Taylor Swift, all these other writers that sell so many more records than you do, Justin. You're not number one.
Yeah.
You're just destroying your own stuff.
I want a Grammy.
Why are you throwing such a big tantrum? You've got plenty to be grateful for.
Bro.
Here's my favorite quote. I don't think that I'm going to be boiling hot for the rest of my career. I think that if I'm not on top, it would be because I didn't want to be.
That's right. I don't want to be on top. I don't want to be on top.
You are turning into an unbelievable douche.
I don't want a Grammy.
You do sound like a spoiled brat who's around six.
I don't want
Justin.
You can't get a Grammy. It's too late.
I don't want one.
All right. You need to go away for a while and maybe curl up with a banky, have some more milk, and take a nap.
I'm going to be number one for new. I don't say number one anymore.
What?
Scissor.
Really, Ari Shaffir? AriTheGreat.com? That's your website? Ari the Great. I thought comedians were like insecure and stuff. What's that about?
We're not so insecure. No, we are in public sometimes, but I don't know. It's morning. My insecurity hasn't woken up yet.
All right.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Thanks, man. I'm great. Besides the morning time, I'm great.
Yeah.
Yes.
With every guest. It's not just every guest.
Really?
This is so not anyone's time of day.
How have you guys done this for this long?
Well, yes, we sleepwalk through it, first of all.
I'm asleep right now. It's funny that there are a lot of guests that come in who don't care about us, don't like us, have no respect for us at all, and think we suck. And then once they get in at like 8 a.m. and realize we've already been here for 3 hours, all of a sudden they have a tremendous amount of respect for us. They're like, wow, how do you do it?
It's amazing. I had to set my schedule like 3 days in advance. I started waking up early on purpose, not letting myself nap.
You didn't really, though.
I really did.
Really?
Yeah. How late do you stay up every night?
I don't know. Till whenever. Till I go to sleep.
Oh, that would be
a pretty sweet deal.
Until the project's over.
That would be sweet. You know, this is a sweet, sweet gig. But it does suck to start like, you know, you have to, the night before you go, oh, it's getting late. It's only like 9.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of sucks.
It would be a sweeter gig if it was 1 to 3.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
So how long have you been doing comedy, Ari?
I've been doing it like, I guess, 13 years.
You think you're good at it yet?
I'm just starting to get okay.
His website is Ari the Great.
That's right. Because I saw a bunch of the promotional material about your latest comedy special, The Passive Aggressive, and it sounded like you felt like, not that you haven't found your voice, because you certainly have for a number of years, it sounded like you felt like you finally were able to put together a show that you feel like you're going to be really proud of for some time to come.
Yeah, man. I've just been toiling away at the Comedy Store for like a decade or more.
Wow. Explain that process. Why does it take so long to craft?
Well, the first couple of years, you are terrible.
Okay. So it's just you need a couple of years to suck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just beyond. The weird thing is everybody goes into stand-up to get validation.
Uh-huh.
But then that's you only met with the opposite of that.
What keeps you going?
Like 5 or 6 years.
What keeps you going after a year and a half when you go, I've been doing this a year and a half and I still suck?
Just blind faith. Just blind faith that maybe this will work out, even though everything points to the opposite. Every crowd member you've ever had says, you're terrible. This will never work out for you.
Do you remember a worst show?
I remember the first time I got a laugh at some coffee shop in Santa Monica, and I thought somebody was mocking me. And I was like, guys, I'm just trying here. You can be cool. It was some couple. And they're like, we liked it. I was like, what?
What? I've never experienced that before. Yeah.
Do you need somebody, girlfriend or friends or parents or somebody in your life to give you positive encouragement at the beginning? Or are you really out on your own?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I just take it wherever I can get. I remember being in line at the Laugh Factory open mic. Mm-hmm. And some couple said, we try to predict who's going to be funny based on their looks.
Right.
I remember calling home about that. I'd be like, these people thought I was going to be funny. Because I looked like a Jew and had glasses. I didn't know
your parents go,
like that.
That's not a compliment.
They tried to be supportive. But man, it was hard for them. They're like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, I would imagine that would not be the first choice that parents want to hear.
Most parents would
that's
be
a
like,
tough road.
Please yeah. go get a real job.
My dad sort of got it. He came to America after the Israeli army.
Is he funny?
No.
Okay.
No.
Where'd you get it from? Is your mom funny?
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, neither one at all. Like, if you see the Stillers, it's nothing like that.
You know,
my dad would say a lame joke and then repeat the punchline like 4 times in a row, like taking pride in himself.
Like really patting himself on the back for that one?
I remember what was the joke? This, like, so specifically. He goes, Kraft is opening up a plant in Jerusalem or in Israel. It's called Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay.
And then he just kept saying, Jesus of Nazareth. And like 10 minutes later, he'd say it again, Jesus of Nazareth.
You didn't want to disappoint him by telling him that you got it the first time?
We'd smile. Like, yeah, man, it wasn't that great. I don't know what to tell you.
So where do you think, and I'm sorry we have to ask all these basic bio questions, but it's the first time on, so we got to get to know our guest here. Without humor in the household, where did yours develop? Like, did it happen at school
when
you were a little bit of an outsider or something like that? You have to kind of fight back from being the geek with comedy or something?
I had to cover the geek. I only have glasses because my eyesight's bad. It assumes I'm a complete nerd.
Well,
I was a terrible student.
You've got a nerd look.
Yeah. I was kind of covered by my ADD in high school, so I just started making jokes.
And everybody laughed.
In grade school,
you kind of knew you were funny. When did you start believing that you need to do this full time?
In college. I tried it once.
And it couldn't have gone well.
I remember preparing for like 6 months.
Wow. First time.
Yeah, I wore a 3-piece suit because I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
To some open mic in Northern Virginia.
Right.
And then I just said, when I graduate, I'm moving to LA. I'm going to try
and
this.
Doing this. No kidding.
Yeah.
How about that? What were your...
What did you guys do?
I slept my way into this job. I don't know about Kevin.
He wasn't in the room.
This seems like the same sort of thing, like a really hard thing to get into.
It is a really hard thing to get into, and there aren't that many good jobs, and we have one of them, so we're just hanging on, you know, as long as we can. I just remember mowing lawns. I grew up in Phoenix, and I was mowing lawns listening to a morning show, and I was like, seems like they're having a better time than me.
Yeah, mowing lawns in Phoenix.
I should do that.
150 degrees out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ari, what were the jobs you had to support yourself while you were getting started in stand-up before you made that a career?
I worked at the Comedy Store. I worked at the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce for a while. They offered me a full-time job, and I had to turn it down. I cried later.
How much help does Beverly Hills need spreading the good word that they're a nice place, by the way? What does the Chamber of Commerce do?
I remember they just try to get like people to notice them and money. I remember they gave Jay Leno some honorary member because the Automobile Association was the running the thing that year.
Right.
And they were like, well, he doesn't work or live in Beverly Hills. And I remember them going like, it'll sell tickets.
Who cares?
Doesn't it just seem like Beverly Hills doesn't really need to advertise? Aren't they kind
really
of already
does.
On the radar for people who know what's going on there? That's
Have you ever heard of Beverly Hills? They come here.
So you're on the Chamber of Commerce. Now, I would imagine that would be the kind of job where you would be rubbing elbows with a lot of serious people who wouldn't appreciate your nonsense and hijinks.
I remember during some sort of prank, I put the bagels all like to spell something out. So I think I spelled out the F word. And they're like, Ari, what is this? You can't do this. I'm like, why?
They didn't even laugh. They didn't even go, it's funny, but
No, I think they were like, who did this? And I was like, I did. Did you like it? So wrong. How's it wrong? You just want a pile?
What could be more right?
Bagels better than this.
Kevin, let's keep that in mind the next time we're in trouble with management. How is it wrong?
How is it wrong?
What's not to like about it?
Explain it to me. I want you to spell this out.
By the way, that's one thing we've learned, and you're lucky, I guess, in that you don't technically have a boss anymore, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much, you know, make your own way. Try explaining comedy to Suits. Try doing that for a while and see how much you enjoy it. Oh my God! Try to answer the question. Why is that funny? And have to explain it to them.
Worse, try to tell lawyers that. Yeah, I've been in that position before too. And they read you your words back, and then you have. Then they ask,
"How
you
is this funny?" And you're like, well, the way you said it, it's not that funny.
The way
at
you
all.
Read it, it didn't really have the pizzazz.
Yeah, that's why I hate when Daniel Tosh and all those people get in trouble. And I'm like, this isn't funny. I'm like, no, not when an idiot blogger writes about it.
Right.
Out of context a week later.
Right.
Yes.
No comedic skills whatsoever. Yeah, it's not funny when you write it.
Everyone's a critic. All right. Ari Shaffir is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The new comedy special is called Passive Aggressive, and it's only $4.99, which I'd like to point out, by the way, and I'm no math expert. I think that's cheaper than, like, the Aziz Ansari $5 special. So I think this is even more of a value,
and
right?
Yeah. He's on TV. I'd do something to outdo him.
Yeah.
To get people to know.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
And I think you're cheaper than Louis C.K. I think his special was more than $4.99 also. So again, it's a value. This is kind of like buying the generic brand at the supermarket. It's cheaper, not quite as good, but cheaper, right? That's how you should be selling it. But look at all the money you save in comedy.
I should put like less filling or something on there.
Anyway, you can get the details through arithegreat.com, or you can download the special from chill.com. More with our guest Ari Shaffir right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Take off all thoughts of what we've been.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
Was that Styx? Who was that? I only heard like the last 5 seconds of
that
it.
We're playing right now.
Oh, that's a good song, that Trojan song. All right, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Screenwriter Roman Coppola, director, also joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, Ari Shaffir is in studio with us on Twitter, by the way, at Ari Shaffir. Very funny stuff, by the way, Ari.
Thanks, man.
And, of course, the new comedy special is called Passive Aggressive. That's available through chill.com at just $4.99. You were telling us a little bit about how you're a freeloader and a sponge and a world-class loafer going all over the world with your little friend Joe Rogan following the UFC. That's pretty cool.
He is my little friend. He's like 5'1".
Now you do stand up with him?
Yeah. We've been touring together for a long time.
He's a great guy. We love him.
He's a great guy.
He's the
best. One of the biggest champions.
Yeah.
He's a little bit crazy though, right? For reals? I mean, with the whole sleeping in the deprivation tanks and whatever it is he does.
He's into it.
He spends too much time on YouTube though. And high.
He spends a lot of time. This is what he does pretty much. He sits in front of his computer looking for some sort of bug that's going to kill him.
Right. Yep. That's true.
And he's always able to find one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we went to Brazil, he's like, there's a spider in those jungles that'll sting you and your whole arm just falls off. I was like, do we have to worry about that?
We're not going there, are we?
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, it's in the jungle. And I was like, oh, well, then what are you doing?
I do get the impression, and he seems like such a happy guy. He's at a great place in his career. He's got a wonderful little family with his kids. But I do get the impression that he is walking around every moment expecting to be hit by an asteroid from outer space or get AIDS somehow, walking down the street.
He's the biggest alarmist I know.
He is.
Totally.
He sees any possible scenario going wrong.
That's the problem with being smart.
Yeah.
You know too much. Now you start worrying.
I got arrested in Minnesota. I do this thing sometimes when I'm on the road where I hide marijuana edibles around places.
Right.
For fans to find, a little scavenger hunt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a nice
thing
that's
I do to
nice
get back
idea.
To the community.
Yeah.
But I got detained by the Mall of America security and the Minnesota cops because they found it and they were all upset at me.
How'd they know it was you?
Twitter. I put it on Twitter. The truth, so they had a trail of evidence written by me.
A map?
Yeah.
So not the smartest criminal in the world.
No, not at all. But eventually the cop was cool enough and he sort of talked me talked me through how to like get out of it. Just
really?
Say like, oh, it was a fake breath strip, right? And I was like, yes, it was just a regular Trident breath strip.
Sure.
And so they let me go. And Joe's like, see, you can get in trouble for this stuff. I was like, no, you're pointing to an example of when I didn't get in trouble. I got let off. Enjoy life.
I would like a reality show of you and Joe going around the world doing comedy.
So would I.
That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
It sounds like it's as much fun off the air, or off the stage as on. And then you mentioned just very briefly during the song there, Ari, that you also ran into a little bit of trouble taking your penis out on stage. What? How did you decide that was the thing?
Well,
that's always the thing.
That's always the thing.
Do you want to see that, Kevin, when you go see stand-up?
It makes me laugh, but no.
It does make you laugh.
It makes you laugh.
Like, okay, I'm trying to think how the best
was there context at all for this?
No, sometimes. Sometimes there is.
It's I'll just, usually hey, just look take at this.
The balls out.
Just
know.
That part.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll just take those out and tuck the rest away.
Okay.
And just have the, and I'll play with them. I'll put earrings on them. Sometimes people have clip-on earrings. I'll take those.
Okay. What's happening?
What they're is
just,
happening?
It's just the it's just the funniest thing I can see. When I saw Jackass and they would always have their junk out.
Yeah.
Flaccid. It's just like, that's ridiculous.
This is, you know, this is a stoner talking now.
Yeah.
Right?
You ever do that? You ever just wake up and just refuse to get dressed? Just walk around naked for like hours and hours?
No.
Dude,
no one wants to see that. Not even me.
You're alone. You don't have to look yourself in the mirror.
Dude, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
What's the freedom
there? It's just so free.
Yeah.
It's just so, everything's going everywhere. If you turn around too fast, it sort of follows, and you see like a wake.
You see a wake
behind. Yeah.
Maybe we're talking difference in size here.
if it were legal, if you would not get arrested, Ari, yeah, would you walk around naked in public?
Oh, that'd be tough. No, I don't think
Why?
So.
Why? It's so free. It's so fun.
But you did it on stage.
Yeah, I don't know. When I'm on stage, I feel like it's anonymous. I don't know why. Even though there's all these people there.
About? They all know your name and that you're on stage.
I know.
It's the least anonymous time of your life.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I just feel free. I can say anything. I can admit to horrible things in my life. But when I'm actually, when somebody asked me afterwards, like, wait, you really did that to someone? Like, you really told him to, I don't know.
And you're like, no, it's just part of the act.
Yeah, I just get embarrassed afterwards. I'm like, yeah, I guess I really did.
That's funny.
Seems way worse.
This is the voice of Ari Shaffir here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. His new comedy special is on chilled.com, available for just $4.99. So once you do a comedy special, then you're out. You got to burn it and start all over, right?
Yeah, I've already started. It's so difficult.
Is it? How long does it take?
Well, I released an album last year, and so it took about a year.
A year?
Oh, yeah.
Slow down, man.
Wow. A year of my life.
Putting too much stuff out there.
You need to lower your standards. That's what we do.
Well, Bill Burr told me that he broke it down, that it was like, that's 5 minutes a month. It's not that hard to write an hour a year. And when he breaks it down like that, all the comics were like, oh, we're really embarrassed.
That doesn't sound so difficult.
Who do you think is the, and I know this may be an impossible question, especially since you've mentioned the names of a bunch of friends of ours too, like Joe and Bill. Who do you think is the funniest stand-up out there, Ari?
Man, I hate using words like funniest.
Yeah.
I know. I know it's art and it's subjective, and night to night it could be different.
There's some great comedians.
And it could be great in a different way than others. I understand it's a tough question. But is there somebody like you super admire?
Every time he goes on, I try to
Bill Burr.
Yeah, he's so prolific.
Tremendous.
And he's so damn funny.
Love him. Yep.
And he just sounds like he's really talking. Like, I can tell you his views on something that I get from his bits, but I know they're his views.
It also doesn't seem like he has a finely crafted show. It just seems like he's... I know he's not,
yeah,
but it seems like he's just talking off the top of his head.
You can't see any punchlines in there.
Yeah, but it's funny as hell.
Yeah. He's great. Louis's great. Joe Rogan's great.
Joe Rogan's great.
I learned so much from watching him.
Yeah. And I know that you're one of those guys who has, done acting and writing and other things in the business, but stand up is the gold for you, right?
It's
like
the purest
that's the
form,
greatest
man.
That's the greatest feeling you get is being on stage with a mic looking at somebody.
Yeah. And I don't have bosses like we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't have anyone. And especially releasing on my own, I don't have anyone saying this material, you got to change it. F you. I'll just do what I want. I'll decide. I'm being so good today. Dropping F-bombs without saying it.
That's tough for a podcast to remember,
too,
by the way. So we appreciate it.
But you spent 3 days working up to this. That's why. You're sharp.
You also have the luxury of, hey, I think I'll take this week off, too, if you want to, and just not do anything. Just sit at home and watch Cops on TV if you feel like it.
Yeah. I went to the Muse concert last week.
Oh, how good was that?
It was so good.
Yeah, they are unbelievable live.
I've never seen them.
Oh, you haven't? Wow.
The lights and the monitors coming down.
The Staples Center?
Yeah. Yep. And Band of Skulls was great, too.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I should have done mushrooms for that show. I didn't realize how much what the light show was going to be.
Before we go, don't you have some sort of a holiday, an international holiday that involves mushrooms?
Yeah,
that
you guys, Shroomfest.
When is Shroomfest?
Shroomfest this year is June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Let me make sure. It's an international mushroom festival. It happens all over the world.
Okay. And what do we do?
You do mushrooms.
What do you think you do?
This is how you participate.
You sweep up other people's houses, Bean.
Yeah.
What are the options of mushroom day?
22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I do it Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So if you have any problems, if you have a wedding to go to, do it the next day.
I like it.
You know, if you have kids, lock them in the crate in the garage and give them a bowl of water. Make sure safety first.
That's a good tip. Lock them in the crate. Okay, good. Yeah. Note. Got it.
And just get some mushrooms and do them. I think everyone should do them sometimes. There's once a year.
Where will you be for Mushroom Fest this year?
Last year I was in Calgary and Montreal. I did them twice. I was at a UFC last year.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. Yeah, in Calgary I did them.
What's it like to watch a UFC fight on shrooms?
So much fun. It's so much more fun,
dude. Is that your
answer
to everything?
It's just so great. All the lights come in. When they start walking into, like, if Black Sabbath comes on or something, I never got into Ozzy because I was always like, when I heard about him, he was just the guy who bit heads off chickens.
Right.
And I was like, this is heavy metal. I'm not going to be into this. But then I was like, who's this band? They're awesome. Like, it's Black Sabbath. I'm like, I want to hear more of them. It's so awesome.
I think we are learning some valuable lessons here today from our guests. We need to talk to you. If not before, we need to definitely have you on around Mushroom Fest this year.
Oh, yeah. I would totally promote Shroom Fest.
That'd be great.
So you can refresh your memories on everything we need to know for it. That sounds like fun.
If you're out there and you want to participate, start looking now.
It's
difficult to find.
Good idea.
Ask your dirtiest friend.
Passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive is the name of the new comedy special, available through chill.com or arithegreat.com is the website. So glad we had you in today, man. We really enjoyed it.
Man.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you guys.
Thank you.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Me too.
Oh, me too.
It was a weird-ass movie.
Great film. All right. I just got to get this off my chest.
Uh-oh.
If Sean doesn't recognize that Tierra is just pulling all of these stunts, trying to get attention away from the other girls.
Wait, this isn't the Bachelor talking.
He is going to be horribly, horribly disappointed once he gets alone with her. Because I get the sense that she's not in this at all for him. I think she's in it just to win and to beat these other girls. And she's making some sort of game, some sort of competition. And if he's looking for love, he is going to be disappointed.
Why do you care who this guy, this loser guy, dates?
First of all, Sean Lowe is no loser.
Why do you care who he's going on a reality TV show to find a girlfriend? How much can he have
so
going
many
on?
Great girls in this year's edition.
Who gives a damn?
You got Ashley, who is just went through a horrible upbringing, being in
They're
foster homes.
They're all fame-seeking whores.
No, now she's early 30s. She's a real grown-ass woman. She's like solid as you can get.
Lisa, you're a chick. You speak Ralph's language. Talk him down. Come on, what's going on here?
No, I totally agree with Ralph.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. Yeah, Desiree couldn't be more adorable. You have Sarah with her one arm. God bless her. She's still out there competing.
As a great man once said,
how can you love it? It's crap.
Oh,
The Bachelor, so good. All right, let's get on with things. Let's give you a quick update on our buddy Ron Jeremy. He is awake, thank goodness, down at Cedar Sinai's hospital. He woke up on Sunday. Apparently, he is aware of his surroundings, so that's all good news. His dad told the New York Daily News that he's going to be in intensive care at least for a couple more days before they move him to another part of the hospital. But everything looks promising, so it looks like Ron is on his way to recovery. His dad, by the way, 94 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Taking care of his son. So, obviously, he's got good genetics that he beat down with glazed donuts. But we still wish the best for Ron, and I hope.
So much beef.
Everything works out. That's true, Lisa. More celebrity hospital news. Britney Spears had to rush her dog to the hospital over the weekend. It was a tragedy. There are photos of her carrying her tiny dog, Hannah, who apparently had some breathing issues, but all is well. Dog lovers, don't worry. Apparently the dog's okay.
Huh?
You can see in the photos that Brittany is carrying the dog, who is, of course, dressed in a tutu!
Nope.
In a tutu! I am guessing it was a suicide attempt on behalf of Hannah, who realized I come from a proud breed of animals, and now look at me. I'm wearing a tutu.
Yeah.
Time for me to go.
I can bub a dog out.
Time for me to fly, in the words of REO Speedwagon. But apparently Brittany saved the dog's life and all is well.
Except for the dog has to go back to Brittany's house.
More celebrity medical oddities. Jennifer Lawrence was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. She's talking about she got a chest x-ray after being diagnosed with pneumonia. And she discovered
via the x-ray that her breasts are uneven, much to her shock. I guess she never noticed before.
Hmm.
But she was looking at that footage and said, hey, look at that. Look at that picture. Those breasts are uneven. I would like to even them out for her.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
What does that even mean?
I'd like to fluff one of them and then pat the other one down and just keep working them until they're
not. Really,
it means whatever
it
takes, Lisa.
Look, I have pillows at home, Lisa. I know how fluffing and flattening works. For God's sakes, it's science.
And if that doesn't work, Ralph's willing to stick with the job as long as it takes.
I will mold them into the proper shape. And Nadia Sulman lost one of her kids.
What?
Just misplaced
a kid, Lisa.
How do you
that's
not?
That's understandable.
Yeah, exactly.
14
kids. She went to panic mode last Thursday. Couldn't find her 7-year-old son. She called the school, authorities, but the bus driver for the school said, I saw you pick your kid up today.
Wow.
You picked your kid up. It's not lost. You took him home. Authorities showed up at the house, and there he was, playing in a back bedroom, safe and sound.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm no fan of the Octomom. That's easy to understand how something like that could happen.
Yeah, I suppose. Authorities said mom seemed a bit confused about the whole situation.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's got 14 kids.
Yeah.
And still manages time to ride the pole and touch herself in movies. So, come on. She's mom of the year, right?
She is a multitasker.
That's what I'm saying. Robin Williams is coming back to television.
Why?
CBS has just announced. Look, I know Robin Williams gets a bad rap for being sort of a hack and stuff and everything, but he's a really good actor, too.
Yeah, he is.
There have been performances of his throughout his career where you look and say, that's a great piece of work.
Hey, he won a freaking Oscar for acting.
Yes. True. I agree. He's going to star in a new comedy produced by David E. Kelly, who also gave us stuff like The Practice and Ally McBeal and Boston Public, Boston Legal, Chicago Hope. Robin will play a advertising executive who's in business with his daughter.
Bitchin'.
And apparently the two generations are cross purposes and chaos ensues. It's called The Crazy Ones.
Real quick, what will fans take away from this, do you think?
I think that it's hard to work with your children. I think it's probably
it's pretty simple
story.
Think, yeah.
And they are rebooting the legendary Thunderbirds TV show. This was the classic kids series that debuted in the 60s using those marionettes. Marination, remember that?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that at all.
You must go and rescue those people.
Words are way off at the mouth.
Yeah. Jerry Anderson, the creator, just passed away in December, and they're going to be doing 26 half-hour episodes. But they'll be using CGI and other stuff, so they won't use the cool puppets that was the hallmark of the Thunderbirds. Love those puppets. It was awesome. You must go and help out. Just walk around and stuff. It's cool. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our very own Miss Double December for 2013, Lux, celebrates her birthday today. She's actually awake. Can you believe it?
Does she?
How do you know?
Did you hear from her?
She's been tweeting.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Darren Criss of Glee is 26.
By the way, I blame us for not having come up with anything to do with Miss Double December.
Yes.
For the entire month of January. Now we're into February.
Right.
Ola. We're still
not
using her. What's going on?
Right.
Let's get an event or something. I don't care.
Or something. You can do Shahi Shahi and bring in Lux.
Whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. Darren Criss from Glee is 26. Bobby Brown is 44. Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live and Suburgatory, 46 years old. Duff McKagan from Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses turns 49, as does the actress Laura Linney. Jennifer Jason Leigh celebrates her 51st birthday. And Tim Meadows, also of Saturday Night Live fame, turns 52. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to geek out right now. Moonrise Kingdom, the only movie I saw in the theater twice last year, by the way. Easily my favorite movie of 2012. And the guy who co-wrote the film, Roman Coppola, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on K-Rock.
Hi,
Mr. Coppola. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Bean rarely goes to a theater to see a movie once.
That's true.
To see it twice is a big honor.
Yep. It's great. Saw it twice. Look, you as you know, because you've worked with him for so long, there are a lot of people who just, if Wes Anderson's name is on the movie, they go to see it because they know they're going to love it. And this was just the latest in a long line of those.
Yeah, Wes is a one-of-a-kind filmmaker. He has such a distinctive style and personality, and I'm a fan as well. I always want to check out what he's doing.
You co-wrote this movie with him?
Yes.
What's that process like?
Well, it's pretty interesting, you know, as far as writing goes. Many writers will work with a treatment or synopsis and discuss themes and talk about it in the abstract. And Wes is very practical. He just says, okay, these two kids, they love each other, they run away. What happens next? And so it's a, very much a step-by-step process, and we'll improvise scenes, we'll talk through it, we'll become the characters, and when we have something we like, we start to jot it down, and it's sort of like a radio play coming to life.
Does it worry you just in that this movie really isn't about huge topics, and it's not about explosions and action?
It's about young love. That's huge.
It's yes, but it's a
different kind of explosion, Kevin. Yeah, remember?
That's true.
It's just kind of a weird off-center, which of course Wes does all the time, mm-hmm. but that doesn't worry you? You need to make it extra good because of it's just quirky, and quirky is difficult to really nail.
Yeah. I mean, I know people have that reaction, and that word is used, quirky. I'm not a fan of it because it has a little bit of a I don't know. It just feels kind of condescending or something. But it is unique. It's one of a kind. And Wes just has a real distinctive point of view. You know, he doesn't do things like, oh, I'm going to try this or show how I can make this unusual. It's sort of like his handwriting. You know, if he writes something, it's just very distinctive. It just comes out that way. It's just what he's drawn to. And he's very sincere. You know, just does what would interest him.
Right. And this movie, it's also a movie that is tough to place in terms of like what year it is even. I mean, it looks like it could have been 1950. It looks like it could have been current because these people aren't exactly realistic in some cases, right?
Well,
they don't talk like we talk, for instance.
Well, it's true. In Wes's pictures, there's often this manner or style of talking that's kind of sometimes jumbled up.
Uh-huh.
And Wes always likes that when we talk through a scene. For example, we were working on Darjeeling Limited, which is another film that we worked on together along with Jason Schwartzman. And he said, oh, yeah, this character has alopecia. And I said, oh, alopecia is when you shave your head, except you don't have to shave it because you don't have any hair anyway. And he said, oh, perfect. We're going to have that be the line. So he really loves when things get tangled up or people are expressing themselves, but it doesn't come out perfectly, but you understand it so well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. This is the voice of Roman Coppola here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about Moonrise Kingdom, which, of course, is available everywhere now on DVD, Blu-ray, you know, on demand, wherever you want to get it. Are Wes's movies now kind of like a Quentin Tarantino movie or a Woody Allen movie where there are a long line of actors who just want to be in one? It's like, hey, if you ever have anything for me, call me and I'm there. And the reason I ask is because, you know, people like Bruce Willis and Tilda Swinton show up in your movie, and I sense that this Wes is the kind of filmmaker that everybody kind of wants to work with.
I get that feeling too. I mean, he's known to have a sort of a camaraderie or a group of actors that keep coming back. Bill Murray, Jason Schwartzman, others. And I do feel that every time there's a new person that comes aboard, it's like, oh, when's the next one? And there's mm-hmm. that feeling of family. And Wes really enjoys that. So, but to your point, it does seem like actors are always kind of curious, like, oh, is there a place for me in the next Wes movie? And they do want to have a chance to have that experience.
You've been kind of second director on a bunch of movies throughout your career. Also, were you working behind the camera on Moonrise as well?
That was a rare occasion where I didn't, and it was pretty fun because we worked on the script together, and that was a very intensive period. And then it stopped, and the movie started shooting. And so often, I see every step, I see all the process and everything. But I had the lucky experience of just seeing the movie finished.
Oh, really?
And
wow!
So it was pretty cool. It was something I hadn't experience before, so that was a lot of fun.
I know you probably get asked about him all the time, but we, like many people, are so fascinated with the way Bill Murray works and how difficult it is to get him in a movie. I mean, I assume that he's always in whenever there's a Wes Anderson movie because he seems to be in almost all of them. But was this the case just like all of them where you call the 800 number, just hang up and hope for the best?
You know, that is the process.
Explain to people the process.
Even when you really know him.
Explain to people what it's like to try and get Bill Murray in your movie.
Well, Bill is a wonderful, generous, incredible, warm, larger-than-life person, and I've become friendly with him, and I'm still kind of in awe. He walks in the room, and it's just, oh, my God, that's Bill Murray, and he's so funny. He's like a titan. He's not human. He's just right. bigger than life. But he is a very genuine guy. He doesn't have an assistant. He doesn't have an agent. He doesn't really participate in that kind of thing.
That's really – that alone is weird by Hollywood standards.
It's very
weird.
He
has to be the only one.
Yeah, probably. And he has a 1-800 number. And I think it's very generous because you can leave a message. You don't have to pay the toll. So
he has an 800 number. You can leave a message. When
– you know,
does he return it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't speak for – you know, Wes may have another deeper number that's beyond 1-800. But I did a film recently with Bill, and I called the 1-800 number, and he got back to me, and we started chatting about how I could – introduce him to this thing. So yeah, it's fun to say it because 1-800 is so odd, but it's basically his answering machine. He's traveling and living different places with his family.
He's
and
truly a, kind of a weird guy though too. I mean, you always read these stories about him dropping in on a bar mitzvah and, you know what I mean?
Just a like kickball game.
All this weird stuff where you go, he's either really crazy or he's just having so much fun with who he is.
I think it's the latter. He's, when you're with him, you just don't know what will happen and you could end up at some disco or whatever. He embraces life and so it's always an adventure, and that's why it's a thrill to be around him.
And you, of course, the movie you mentioned that you recently made, A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Schwann, that comes out this Friday, but you directed Bill Murray as an actor. Is that also the case on set where you know what you expect to happen in the scene, but oftentimes he will surprise you with something completely different?
Very much so, and that's the beauty of working with great actors. As you know, they're going to elevate it and bring so much more. And with Bill Murray, it's just a fait accompli that something great's going to happen that you didn't expect. So you always try to make conditions so they can just go for it and feel at home to do whatever they feel is right.
Did it ever happen when he just took a shot and tried it and thought it was great and everybody else was like, I don't know.
That just is not possible.
It isn't. Because I would think as a director, then you got to think, how do I correct or tell Bill Murray to do this differently? It just never happens.
You know, in my case, I worked with him for about a week, so it wasn't the whole duration of the movie. But every day he just was nailed it. And, you know, actors, it's their job to be in that right flavor of that character. And in my case, he was. And so everything he did came from the right place.
Let me ask you two more questions about Bill Murray, and then I promise we'll move on to something else. But we rarely get to know someone who is so close to Bill Murray that we can ask these questions. He clearly could be the biggest comedy star in America if he wanted to be. They're throwing tens of millions of dollars at him to do Ghostbusters and any other number of broad comedy movies. Why do you suppose he doesn't want to do traditional funny anymore? Why is that not appealing to him anymore, do you think?
You know, it's really hard to say. He's very devoted to his family. He has like 7 or 8 boys, and also, you know, he loves golf and he loves traveling and seeing things. So I think he has a great perspective on life that the things he does.
But when he does movies, I mean, he picks roles that are not comedy anymore. Why do you think?
Well, I think in Wes's pictures, it's often comedic, and in my film, he's definitely comedic, but also dramatic as well. But it's really hard to say. I think he doesn't have that need to be in a big tentpole movie. I think he's just quite satisfied doing things that appeal to him, and I think it's a wonderful way to live your life. As
yeah, and I respect that too. Look, it would be unfair of us as the audience to expect him to be the Stripes guy forever. I mean, he should do things that excite him. Yeah. All right, last question: is there any truth to the stories that we hear about once a year of him going up to somebody on the subway or in the park and getting up real close to him and saying, "No one will ever believe that this happened." Where he, you know, cups the person's ear and talks into his ear and says, no one will ever believe that this happened. We hear those stories. We never know if they're completely made up or if there's a kernel of truth or it happened once and everybody's copycat. Do you know anything about a story like that?
I have not heard that story, but I believe it. And
he would kind of surprise you.
He'll just go up to someone and just pick them up and lift them off the ground. And so I've seen that.
You've seen him pick someone up that wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. All right. Roman Coppola is in the studio. He has an Oscar nomination. And we're going to talk about what that's like. And I guess you just had the big Oscar luncheon a few days ago. We want to hear about that, too. You are nominated, along with Mr. Anderson, for Best Original Screenplay for a fantastic movie called Moonrise Kingdom, which you should definitely see if you haven't. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in here today on a Tuesday morning. By the way, we're giving away tickets to see Muse at the pre-Grammy party this coming Friday night. We are looking for contestants right now. If you would like to go to that and you are a Muse fan, you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls in a few minutes. First, though, Roman Coppola in studio with us. He is Oscar-nominated Best Original Screenplay for Moonrise Kingdom, along with his friend Wes Anderson. The movie, by the way, is out available on DVD and Blu-ray and on demand. And you've done every facet of the jobs in the industry, and acting and writing and directing. You've done it all. This is your first Oscar nomination, though, right, Roman?
It is, and it's pretty thrilling.
What's it like when you first hear that you're nominated?
Well, there was...
Were you watching? Do you watch?
Well, it happens very early in the morning. Yeah. I was actually in the East Coast, but I was in a car going to the airport, so I wasn't able to watch, and I was tuning into the radio, but they weren't doing it live. They were kind of saying, coming up soon, the Oscars.
Right.
Anyway, so a friend of mine texted me, and I was in the car with my parents, and they were all cheering.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
My mom, she has a little bark she does when she gets excited.
I'm sorry?
My mom does a bark. It's like, arf, 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 sound, like a seal bark.
Why does she do that?
It's just her excited sound she makes. So
your mom's barking. Okay. Yeah.
What was your expectation? Like, did you ever put it on a percentage? Well, there's a 20% chance. There's a 40% chance. You ever think about it in those terms? Because you knew it was certainly a possibility.
I was aware that it was a possibility, and a lot of people saying, "Oh yeah, you're going to get a nomination," and you want to be positive. It's a tricky thing because you don't want to jinx anything, so you want to be positive.
You believe in jinxes?
Yeah,
because I don't think you can lose.
Yeah, all right.
No, good. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You want to be positive, but you don't want to be cocky or expect anything. So you have to have that fine line of allowing it to possibly happen without going further than that.
Being disappointed if it doesn't?
Yes.
Did you wonder, once you heard that you were nominated for writing, did you wonder, I wonder if the movie's going to get one of the nominations?
For best movie? Yeah, I was, and I was hoping it would, of course.
Of course.
And it happened to not, so that was disappointing. But it was, that we got the screenwriting one was a thrill. So
you needed more French people getting old is what you needed to get your movie nominated. That was what was going this year.
Yeah.
You're in an unusual situation, Roman, that most people don't encounter, in that you're about the only member of your family who hasn't already won an Oscar. So being nominated almost isn't even enough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your dad has Oscars, your uncle, your cousin, your sister. I mean, it's kind of crazy in your family with Oscars.
It's someone brought that up that we have dozens of nominations and a bunch of wins in our family, so it's a pretty cool tradition.
You're the only person that can't say nominated is enough, though.
Yeah.
Because the rest of your family goes, no.
Yeah.
Won it.
Yeah. Tell me what it's – I mean, you're this is the magic time in between the nomination and the ceremony where 4 out of 5 people in every category are going to be disappointed, sadly. But right now you can really, really enjoy it. And one of the perks of the job is that you get to go to this Oscar lunch that I know they don't they don't film it, or we don't hear much about it. It's kind of supposed to be a low-key fun event for you. But tell me about that, because it's like everybody who's nominated this year is there, right?
I can't tell you about it.
It's like Fight Club.
It's like Fight Club, right? Did you make Tommy Lee Jones laugh? That's all I care about.
I didn't, but I sat next – or I stood next to Jessica Chastain in the photo, so I was delighted.
There you go.
Oh, that's nice.
She's very charming. No, it was very nice. You know, it was a very low-key event, and that it was just a bunch of people coming together, and it was not formal, and it was very nice.
Are you friends with any of the other nominees in your category?
Well, I've become friendly with the other writers because there have been a few panels and group events. There was one last night where we all got together and, sort of a panel event discussing the film. So they're all a bunch of great guys and very witty and fun to be around. So now we've become friendly.
Well, the Oscars are happening on February the 24th, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. Moonrise Kingdom is available everywhere, and I know that we only have another minute or so here left, but how about a few words on A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III? That opens up this Friday. This is your new film that was – you wrote this one, and it's your first directing full-length movie in something like 10 years, right?
It is. It's something I made last year. I'm very proud of it. It's very far out. It's a story about a guy that gets dumped by his girlfriend, and his life goes in a tailspin, and the lead character is played by Charlie Sheen. And basically it's sort of a character study and a guy, trying to figure out if he loves someone or hates that person. And so, when you get dumped, your brain gets into sort of a kaleidoscopic state of remembering things and fantasies and all this type of thing. So the movie sort of works in that way, and it's meant to be very playful and fun and wild and crazy at the same time, you know, very sincere. So if you've ever been dumped, this might be a good movie for you.
And who hasn't?
And who hasn't, indeed. That opens up on Friday in a limited release, and it's also available on video on demand. Again, that one's called A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III. Of course, got to be the third. Roman, so great to meet you, man. Good luck at the Oscars. Thank you for coming in. I really enjoyed it.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse is happening this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. We got tickets for you all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day here at K-Rock. And, of course, the Grammys air this Sunday night on CBS. Let's play the hardest game in the world, shall we?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So these Muse tickets are obviously something that's a great ticket. Can't buy it. You can only win it here from K-Rock. So the game is not going to be easy today, as I understand it.
What we're going to do is take the names of Muse songs. All you need to do is identify the name of the song that we play. Oh, I almost forgot. The names will be backwards.
It's absurd how difficult this can be.
It's the hardest game in the world.
It is not easy. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Ian. He's an insurance estimatician, guy who gives you an idea how much insurance will cost.
Hey, Ian.
What's up, fellas?
You ready for the hardest game in the world?
Let's do it.
All right, here's your Muse song. I can give it to you twice, that's all. Here you go.
Spialerots.
One more time.
Spialerots.
Starlight.
Nice.
How about that?
Done.
How about that?
Well, in the drawing. Hang on. That wasn't as hard as we thought.
Next up is Hector. He's a fisherman standing on the edge of the Santa Monica Pier looking for flounder doesn't count.
Hey, Hector.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
You ready for your Muse song?
Ready for it.
There you go.
Mushits.
One more time.
Mushits.
Sure, we can't say one of those words.
This game's hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
Hardest game in the world.
Hector. Yeah, this one's pretty hard. Let's go with Knife of Sidonia.
Panic Station.
Oh!
Sorry, Hector.
Thank you for playing anyway, Hector. Maybe you have better luck catching fish today.
Cut bait, Hector! You lose! Next up is Martin. He's a cable technician. That's what he used to call me in college.
Yeah?
Laying some cable!
Hi, Martin.
What's going on, guys? What's going on, guys?
Here's your Muse song twice, and you just have to tell us what it is. Here you go.
Okay.
One more time.
Let's
go with
sounds like Russian.
Map the Problematic.
It's good that you chose multiple words, but
United States of Eurasia.
Oh. Thanks for playing, though. Sorry, thank you.
Andy, he's next. He works in a print shop.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hardest game in the world. Are you ready for your song?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Here it comes.
Send them.
One more time.
Send them.
Wow.
We killed him in Iraq, right?
What? Uprising?
Madness.
Oh, ooh, so close.
Come
Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy.
Yeah, hard game.
So
it's
far,
Josh,
only...
She's up next. He's in construction.
Ian is the only name so far in the hopper here to possibly win these tickets. So,
I don't see a hopper. Does that confuse anyone else?
Josh, good luck to you. We can only play it twice. Here's your Muse song.
Snitzer.
I think that said scissor. One more time.
Snitzer.
Knights of Sidonia.
Oh, come on. Resistance.
Resistance is what we were looking for.
Sorry.
All right, I think we have time for one more, Mr. Announced Man. We may be in sudden death here, otherwise Ian's going to win.
Next up is Brett. He or she's a student.
Hey, Brett.
Hello. He is a student, yes.
He is, okay.
All right, don't get all chap-ass.
All right, here's your Muse song. Good luck.
Ein Wettes war Stern.
One more time.
Ein Wettes war Stern.
The Knights of Sidonia?
How
Knights of Sidonia.
How about that? Ian on the other line's like, oh, come on.
Seriously. So Ian and Brett both got their titles backwards. Only one can win the private pre-Grammy party. Lisa, you're going to break somebody's heart here.
I feel so bad. The winner is Ian.
Ian! Yeah!
Nicely done, Ian.
That's right.
You're going to see news in a tiny, tiny little space.
I love you, Lisa May.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Ian backwards is, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
That's where you're at now. You're standing by that saying, yes, that was good. That was an example of me
Come
being
on
good.
Now.
That's
no,
what you're
I,
saying.
I used the word quirky that he didn't like, but it was a good
was
word
the
for
the
that.
The sentence wrapped around the quirky. I thought it was fascinating.
I can't stand up for the sentence.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the sentence, but the word.
Kevin, God damn it.
The word I stand by.
You have to try to make it extra good because hit it on the nail on the head, quirky.
All right, I can take that. I can understand that comedy.
Poor Roman. Hey, if you have any problems with anybody on the show, Ralph, there's a man with a crossbow on the other side of the glass who can take him out for you.
Yeah, does he kill live people or just the zombies? Can he do live people?
I think he'll kill whoever you
he'll
want.
He'll kill anyone.
Really? Anybody
want? Oh, I'm so excited. Walking Dead is coming back on Sunday.
Beer?
No!
Mother effing mug.
He plays Daryl Dixon on The Walking Dead this Sunday night at AMC. Actor Norman Reedus joins us in studio right after the top of the hour. We're very, very excited. First, though, the Showbiz Beat is here with Ralph Garman.
While we're talking about television, tonight, some people were upset last week. There was some confusion. So let me clear this up for you. If you have DirecTV or Dish Network,
okay,
if you are a satellite Dish subscriber, the Joe Schmo Show on Spike TV, the West Coast feed, is only the East Coast time, if that makes any sense. So if you don't see it at 7 o'clock p.m. out here, if you have the Dish
right.
Or DirecTV. At 10 o'clock, if you tune in at 10 o'clock, you will end up watching a marathon of 1,000 Ways to Die. So,
oh, so it's at 7 o'clock only?
Only, yeah. They were repeating it 3 hours later, early in the run, but they've stopped doing that.
Okay.
So for those of you who ended up watching Tattoo Nightmares last week and were angry at me, it's not my fault. They told me to tell everyone 10 p.m., but now it turns out if you're on the West Coast and you have a satellite Dish, you can only pick up the East Coast feed of it, so you have to watch it at 7 o'clock or set your DVR for 7 o'clock or whatever you do. But just
well, look, the answer
a
is...
programming note, that's all.
The answer is to set up all your shows for first run whenever they are. Like, they moved Girls this week to Saturday instead of Sunday, I guess, to get it away from the Super Bowl. You don't have to think about what time it's on if you just set it up to, you know, to DVR the whole show.
I know, but some people were planning on watching live. So at 10 o'clock, they go to tune in, and they were watching someone get a cover-up tattoo.
Gotcha.
Because a biker gang held him down and sodomized him with a tattoo needle or something. I forget the
same
actual
show.
Story, but
same worst show. Episode of Joe Schmo ever.
Very different.
7 p.m. people. That's
yeah.
The
so if you got, but if you got cable, then you can watch it 7 or 10 or anytime you want on demand. Just plug the coaxial cable into your temple and it'll just go right into your brain.
Excellent.
It works out wonderfully. All right. You know I love the Riders. You know I love the contract Riders when people go on tour. Lady Gaga's got a special one.
Love it.
This was just exclusively obtained by CelebBuzz.com, and I picked it up, and it's very funny. Here's what Lady Gaga needs in order to create the perfect backstage environment for her artistic temperament. Everything must be draped in black and silver satin backstage.
Everything.
Everything. If there's any furniture, it must be white leather couches only. And vases of fresh roses in various colors, but only these colors, yellow, white, or lavender only.
Wow. Oh,
okay.
The walls of her dressing room must be decorated with old rock posters of her favorite artists. David Bowie, Queen, Elton John, and Billie Holiday.
Okay.
You have to run down to the head shop and buy some old posters for Lady Gaga's coming to town.
Is it tough to find a Billie Holiday poster in 2013,
by the way?
I would
think so, yes. Gaga must have a double set of lavender-scented towels available at all times. Full-size, hand-size, and washcloths must be included.
She a sweater?
At all times. Yeah, she must have the following food. Whole wheat bread, low sugar, peanut butter with flax seeds, bran flake cereal, fruit, hummus, and homemade guacamole. Is she moving into the dressing room, or is she just performing there for a night? And then my favorite part of the rider by far... Backstage, at any venue she performs, there must be a mannequin with puffy pink pubic hair.
What's that about?
What? She must have a mannequin that has puffy pink pubic hair.
Yeah, whoa! What's up? Is that just to see if she can do it? Is that one of those things where it's like, let's just
throw
something in?
They'll never get us mannequins with puffy pink pubic hair, will they?
That's some assistant's job every city she goes to. Go and find that.
Can we get some cotton candy and glue it onto the onto the mannequin, please?
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Yeah, and what about the pink? Really?
Yeah, another good question.
While we're at it, Larry, why don't you ask that question? Sorry, fellas. Hayden Panettiere, she's off the market. Won't be looking for a Valentine's date this year. Hmm. She's gotten back together with her ex-boyfriend, Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh, the fighter?
Dr. Iron Fist. Yeah, they were dated for a long time. Then they broke up. Well, they got back together again over a romantic New Year celebration in Dubai. You know how it is when you're whisked off to Dubai. Sure. What a romantic whirlwind that can
How could
be.
You not fall in love exactly. under those circumstances?
Bang, 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 bang.
A lot of that going on.
And by the way, remember Michael Catherwood, who used to work on this program, who you always used to throw a big tantrum about how unattractive Hayden Panettiere was?
I do. Yes. Nuts. He's nuts.
How unbelievably smoking hot is she on Nashville every single week? You can't believe how pretty she is.
Great.
Very
she
hot.
Looks incredible.
She's very hot.
He couldn't be more wrong.
He's a nut. And this is pretty cool. Let's say you're a kid. And you go to Vanderbilt University, and you hear Billy Joel, legendary singer-songwriter Billy Joel, is coming to town to do one of his lectures. He tours the country a lot now, does a lot of college lecture circuit stuff where he talks about music and composition and things like that.
Just so he can nail chicks?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So this music student in Vanderbilt University is sitting there in the hall listening to Billy Joel go on and on about the Piano Man or whatever he's talking about. And he raises his hand and says, yes, I'm from your hometown, Long Island, New York. I'm a freshman here at Vanderbilt. I play a little piano. Can I play New York State of Mind while you sing? And everyone laughed. And Billy said, get up here. Come on up here. Brings him up in front of the entire lecture hall. Sits him down at the piano. Sang the song while the guy played. And word is the kid played the hell out of it. So he had a lifelong dream come true. He got to accompany Billy Joel.
We have a clip if you'd like to hear
it. Oh, sure, Anna. Balls, 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 balls,
balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls, balls. Billy Joel getting down these days.
Yeah, it's a new kind of music.
That's my jam.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
Late breaking news. I hate to interrupt. On today's very special. Balls, 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 balls. Just wanted you to know on today's very special episode of OMG The Insider, The Bachelor is going to be interviewed. I just wanted you to know. He's going to be on, whatever his name is.
What do
Sean
you do
Lowe.
Now? Sean?
What do you do now? You hate that show.
OMG The Bachelor. On the Insider, The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah he's on. He's their special in-studio guest today. Listen, I didn't want you to miss it.
It's obvious. I enjoy watching The Bachelor. I never have any need to sit down and hear him interviewed.
Yeah.
I will watch the program with great relish, but I don't think I really need to get inside the mind of Sean.
Okay.
But thanks for the heads up.
Wanted to help you out.
Today's celebrity birthday, Tim Meadows is 52 years old today. Jennifer Jason.
The ladies' man.
That's right, yeah. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 51. I'd say do it in the butt.
He's the best.
That's always his answer for every question. Jennifer Jason Leigh, 51 years old today. Laura Linney is 49. Duff McKagan, also 49 today. Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live, while we're talking about that show, 46. Bobby Brown is 44. By the way, I just want to say, show's not over yet, I know, but I think Bean has shown remarkable restraint
Thank
today.
You. Thank
Every
you.
Time we talked about Bobby Brown, I thought he would say,
hey.
Well, you know, however he celebrates his birthday,
it's his prerogative.
I was just waiting for something like that, but no, nothing.
I thought of it, but nothing. I decided it was my prerogative to also not do it.
Ow! Ow!
Yeah, that's not, that's bad.
Darren Criss of Glee is 26 years old, and our very own Miss Double, December 2013, the lovely Lux. Lux celebrates her birthday today. It's her birthday, so she should put pictures of herself in her birthday suit, right? Shouldn't she wear her birthday suit?
I would say that makes sense.
I would think so, too. Lux, get on that, won't you? Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I've been missing my zombie bites, the blood and guts and lies. I've been watching porn instead. I've been wanting my Walking Dead. Wanting my Walking Dead.
I think we've lost Omar. He's into that part, though.
So show me a zombie. All the blood that you will eat. I've been waiting for so long. I don't know what's going on. Kill Carl and make him gone.
One, two, three.
I really want to see you.
we apologize. We apologize on behalf of everyone everywhere for Omar's song. But The Walking Dead is coming back. Season 3 resumes this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. After, what, a couple of months off, we're very excited to welcome the man who brings Daryl Dixon to life every week. Norman Reedus joins us in studio. Hi, Norm. How are you? Sorry about that song.
No, man. That song was awesome. It was great.
Kevin, why haven't you mentioned more frequently how excited you are about The Walking Dead coming back?
Have I not said that?
Like every hour of every day since December.
Walking Dead's coming back Sunday. I'm very excited.
So, Norman, how are you, man? What's it like being in the world of The Walking Dead? You've been acting for a long time, but nobody expects to be on a show like this and have it. I mean, it must have just changed your life, I would imagine, right?
It has. Yeah, it's my favorite job I've ever had, for sure. It's a blast. I'm like 9 years old, run around with a crossbow and shoot zombies in the face. It's fantastic.
It does sound like the kind of job most 9-year-olds would dream about. And we've talked to Robert Kirkman and others associated with the show over the years, and nobody puts a show like this on the air and expects it to be the biggest show on television. It's just, I mean, this whole thing is like a fluke, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it would be good when I read the pilot. I didn't know it would become so large, but it had Frank Darabont and Gail Ann Hurd and Greg Nicotero, and it was AMC. I knew it would be really good, but I don't think anybody can predict it would be this big.
Did you read for this part, or did you just want any part?
I wanted any part when I read it, but then I heard the parts were taken. But they brought me in and they had me read Merle's line, some of his lines, and then that was in L.A. And then I went back home to New York and got a call, but I'd heard that Rooker had already got the part, so I thought maybe he said no or couldn't do it or something. And so when I read Rooker's part again, and then when I left, I got a call that Frank wrote a new part.
No kidding. So he created Daryl for you.
I, that's the rumor. Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, man.
And how do you describe Daryl to people? What is it you think you know about Daryl?
Well, he's, socially awkward.
yes.
He's got no game with the ladies. I got to find a reason why he's hanging out with these people. And it's not really for protection or anything like that, because he can take care of himself.
That's a great point, by the way.
But I think,
because he doesn't seem like a super social guy. It's not like you don't feel like he needs the human connection like some of the others do.
Yeah, but, I don't think anyone's ever relied on Daryl before. And I think he's sort of finding some sort of sense of self-worth, being with these people. And I think he's sort of becoming the man that he was destined to not become. He's, he's going to become Minnie Merle at one point. So,
I got to tell you, cool. When the series started, your character's more of a hard ass. I don't care about anybody else. Right. And then you really have transitioned throughout the seasons as now you're super likable. How do you make that character likable?
It's
because he's sort of a dick.
Yeah, no, and he started off as a big dick.
Yeah,
but it's like, damaged people gravitate towards damaged people. And I think, the storyline with Carol, I think, sort of opened him up in a lot of different ways, looking for Sophia and so forth. So I'm just trying to play. I always, explain him sort of like a wet animal you find in an alley. And, you approach him, he'll growl at you. But if you can feed it and take it home or somewhere it's warm, he'll follow you forever.
Right.
That's true.
There are so many fascinating aspects to The Walking Dead. And one of the things that the show has done so brilliantly is take the time to explore so many different facets of what life might be like after whatever this event was that caused the zombies to come and everything. I would think that the number one thing on my mind if I were Daryl or any of these survivors is doing the math and seeing how many more guys there are than girls and how those are bad odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be the guy who's on the outside of not having the girl.
Yeah, they keep hinting that maybe there's going to be a love interest and so have like any moves whatsoever. So,
that would be out of character.
Yeah, I want it to be super awkward. So,
well, Daryl is good at super awkward, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
How much did you hear from people all through last season when it was becoming inevitable that the two groups in the show were going to meet up and that the brothers were finally going to be face to face again? Is that all people wanted to talk to you about, is what it was going to be like when Daryl and Merle get in the same space?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that question. And, Rooker's become a really good friend of mine. And, I found out he was my brother, or I was his brother. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. I was like, uh-oh. I'm in trouble, But he's the sweetest guy you'd ever – I mean, he's insane.
He's a great actor then.
Oh, my God, he's mad.
Because
he lost a hand, it's amazing that he's so nice.
He's super cool.
That's just the TV show being that.
But he's super cool to work with. But, yeah, people ask me that all the time, and they ask me if I'm going to hook up with Carol and –
You know, how does Carol keep her hair so short?
She, you know,
does she have a barber come with her?
She's one of those neurotic girls that's constantly cutting it. You know what I mean?
How long till you kill Carl?
That needs to happen.
Why does Kevin hate Carl so much? What is this about?
He's a creepy kid. He's got a turn on everyone.
He's just a little dick.
But don't you think, Norman, that the character Carl in The Walking Dead has really stepped up in the first half of season three and made some good choices and actually been a contributor to the group's safety?
Absolutely. Wait till the next half. Ooh. I mean, that little kid is...
Does he come on?
He's
come on strong?
Killing it. Yeah, he's going to be a huge
star. So maybe you shouldn't kill him?
He's, you know, and the thing is too, like, he pulls these things out of his bag of tricks that all of us are like, wow, we didn't even think of that. That's awesome.
Really?
I mean, you know, he does stuff, you know, so in subtle ways that's so powerful. He's a really good actor.
You're not the first person to say that.
Yeah.
Who else? We had somebody else in here that was
I think it was Steven. I think it was Steven Young when he had an ant. But don't you think
I tried to get him to kill Carl, too. He said no.
But I think part of that is that if you put yourself in the shoes of the actors, Carl is playing a little kid who is forced to grow up fast and be an adult. And he's a good actor, and he's playing it that way.
Yeah, you know, I always say, you know, that Daryl and Carl get along because Daryl's a childlike and a childlike adult, and Carl's an adult-like child.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know what I mean?
True.
Yeah.
Now, we need to take a break, but when we get back, I want to talk about where we left off, which is you and Merle with your backs against the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And just about to get eaten alive, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
By the people there.
It doesn't look good.
That is not a party, by the way. That final scene of the first part of season three is not a party I want any part of as a spectator or a participant. I got to be honest. That's grim, my friend.
Yeah, it gets harsh.
I don't know that I would say that any of this show is a party. I don't think that's what you're going to it for.
Right.
Yeah, not at all.
Norman Reedus is here. We'll be right back.
Actor Norman Reedus in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Walking Dead. He's Daryl, don't you know? Season 3 picks up again this Sunday at 9 on AMC. Right before we took a break, Kevin was starting to talk about where we left off at the end of the first half of Season 3, which was not in a great spot necessarily for Daryl.
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly what happens, but...
What happens?
But that scene was great. You know, the more I played that scared and little brother, it brought out, you know, the big protective brother in Merle. So we really went in that direction instead of like two like fighting caged animals, mm-hmm. You know.
So you guys meet up, and then you're basically the governor is going to let everyone beat you right to hell.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, or we
or
beat
you
each
have to fight
other
each other
to the death.
To the death?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Who dies?
I can't tell you.
Who wins the fight?
Okay, you guys had some Bloody Marys or something. I might spill some stuff, but you know.
We'll have some next time.
Wasn't it a fascinating decision that was made, and I assume this was coming from the network or Mr. Kirkman or both together, that they were going to use the graphic novel as a jumping off point, but weren't necessarily going to stick to it. There's some characters that don't exist in one or the other. Some characters die that here and don't die there. I mean, it really keeps the fans guessing, and anything can happen on this show, which is what's so neat about it.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I mean, Robert's such a genius. He made, you know, this backdrop of this world that we use is, I mean, it's so large and dynamic that, you know, these characters, like every character could have a spinoff show. They're all very interesting characters. But yeah, we stay, you know, with the graphic novel, but we also veer as much as possible because we don't want people to know what we're doing, you know.
Sure,
of course, yeah. Is there a town that you guys use as Woodbury, or is that all on a big soundstage somewhere in Georgia?
Oh no, we took over a whole little town. It's in this town called Sonoya, but there's one giant street with shops on it. It's really cool over there, and we took over the whole damn thing. We you know, there's like coffee shops and little stores and gun stores and all this stuff, but they all have Walking Dead stuff. They're like the coffee shop is like zombie blend. You know what I mean? Like,
how do you take over a town, though?
Oh, we took over the whole thing.
I mean,
where our stages are, and you know where the prison was built, is maybe 5 minutes from this little town. Then it looks kind of has this Mayberry vibe to it, and
yep.
We just took over the whole thing, and you know, with signs everywhere, please don't cut your grass and stuff. Like that, you know?
Is the prison not a real building either? That's something you guys build?
Yeah, we built it. This the dude that built it is a genius. I mean, that whole building should be in the Louvre. It's his name's Grace Walker. Coincidentally, he's Australian. He did all the Mad Max movies and stuff.
Wow!
But every little detail on that prison is just, I mean, so spot on. Like moss and rust drips, and I mean, like
yeah, no kidding.
It's crazy, that thing.
Now, you may be already super used to this after as many shows as you've done, but just sitting at the lunch table with zombies every day, you just have to look around and go, this is a weird business that I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go by craft service and, you know, there'll be a zombie smoking a cigarette or something.
You go, that's not good for you.
You know, and he'll be like, hey, can I get a picture with you? You know, you're like, yeah, later, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, the way that Greg, you know, Nicotero and his team do the zombies, like, you see the lost, sad, scared person behind the monster coming at you. And that's the part that makes it scary, you know.
I can't believe how much time they put into making every one of those zombies unique and look so realistic, too. I mean, clearly, there's a budget on this movie, man.
They're definitely, you know, top of their game, that group. I mean, there's not a weak link in our whole chain. It's one of those jobs where everything just comes together, you know. So,
as an actor, this is the voice of Norman Reedus in our final moments. You're talking about The Walking Dead coming back this Sunday at 9 on AMC. As an actor, did it make you nervous when you have seen some of the turnover with the showrunners and whatnot? Because there has been a little bit of off-screen drama with The Walking Dead, too.
You know, I mean, we're such a tight family, and we every single element on this, everyone fights to keep it as honest and as realistic as possible. And
why can't you keep a showrunner?
You know, well, yeah, I mean, you know, those sort of decisions happen in rooms I'm not invited into, you know. But
you have a crossbow. Come on. You should be able to go to any room you want.
I mean, all I can say is, like, everyone really cares about each other, and everyone's best interest is taken care of. And, you know, we'll... No matter what happens to anybody on the show, we'll all be friends forever. I mean, it's one of those jobs.
I mean, it is many times when it's a different showrunner, and that's basically the guy in charge of the show.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Many times the show will change when you get a new showrunner in, and that didn't happen when Glenn came in. And then I guess after season four, is he leaving? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, when Frank left, you know, Glenn was his number two, so we already knew him. And now Glenn, you know, Scott's his number two. So it's like it doesn't go outside of the family ever.
That's cool.
It stays the same show.
I didn't know
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what can you tell us, obviously, without spoiling anything? What are you excited for people to see in season three, even if it's just, you know, bigger themes or whatever?
I mean, it's a full-blown war. I mean, it's, you know, there's lots of people stepping on each other's toes within each camp. So there's, you know, people not trusting people they trusted yesterday and who you can rely on, and just all hell breaks loose. It's so
more chaotic than it's been. How is that even possible?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's more chaotic than we've seen so far.
We haven't seen nothing yet. It goes nuts.
That's saying something.
I can't wait.
Well, I know you're doing a ton of press for this, but you won't be in a room with bigger fans of yours and of the show, Norman. So we're very excited.
You guys are so cool. Thank you.
Seriously, we're really happy to meet you. We're so happy for the success of the show, and we talk about it almost every day on the show at some point or another. So please, folks, if you haven't seen it yet, The Walking Dead, you can go back and catch up before season three resumes this Sunday at 9 on AMC. Thanks so much for stopping by, man.
You guys are so cool. Thanks for having me.
I love white guy rap. I don't know what you're talking about.
He is a frosty-ass honky.
He sure is. He sure the hell is.
He sure is.
At 9:39, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Kevin, to beat you.
Before I beat you, I want to give you a heads up. My buddy Kevin Smith has written and is starring in what is best described as a short com.
What's a short com?
A short com is a sitcom that is short.
Oh, so like Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
And we are doing the pilot for this short com. I'm also in his short com.
Oh.
Co-starring alongside with Shannon Doherty.
Oh.
So it's like a charmed reunion, really. That's what the press is calling it, with Shannon and I working together again.
Sure.
Because you were on that one episode for 10 seconds?
I was on three episodes.
Oh, sorry. For 30 seconds then, total.
So if you'd like to come watch us create... If you want to watch it, be in the audience for the short com, it's a Project Fox is doing where they're taking five comedian creator types and giving them a little short com to do, and then we're going to package it all together into an hour program. It's going to be an evening of mini sitcoms. If you'd like to come and be in the audience and watch us film, we'd love to have you. Go to on-camera-audiences.com, on-camera-audiences.com with the dash between each word. And then go into the shows and then click on Shortcoms Comedy Hour. And we are doing it on the 13th. That's next week. I believe it is a Wednesday. Next week.
A Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yes. It's a Wednesday in February, though, right?
In February, yes.
Right.
So go get your tickets and come out and see us and scream loudly and laugh no matter what we say.
What if it's not funny?
Especially then. Okay. Especially if it's not funny, then we need
to. Now, will this be the only time people have to see it, or will it one day be on television?
Well, here's the thing. With a pilot in the television world, you shoot it, and then they look at it, and they go, well, that's horrible. No way we'll put that on television. Or they say, well, that's not nearly as horrible as, say, I don't know, Chelsea, Are You There? Or Whitney or something, and then they put you on television. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know we're doing one show next week, and we'd love to have people come out. And if Fox likes it, then we'll be on television.
Here's that web address again if you want to be in the audience.
www.voicesfromspirit.com.
I don't think. /V21N5/links.htm. No, I believe that's not the correct email address. It's on camera audiences with a dash. In between each word, .com, on camera audiences.
And then that's easier.
Go to shows and then go to Shortcoms Comedy Hour. Remember when Kevin used to thrill people when they tried to give out their email, their websites? Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a good funny
bit.
Those
were good times.
That was funny.
Yes, you can find me at W to BAM!
It started with the guy who was doing the world's largest Thriller dance.
That's right. You can play in that stat over and over again. And Kevin would start to suck people in. He said, hey, what's your email address for people who want to find you? What's your website address? Well, it's a da-da! And he would thrill them.
Remember the army specialist or marine or whoever it was that came in and he didn't have
he had both of his legs missing.
Yeah. He's like, you're not going to thrill me. And I was like, oh man, now I have to thrill him. I mean, you can't challenge me.
You don't have to be a dick about it.
I didn't have it. Enjoy it.
These were good times. Back when the show was very, very funny. Hey, don't forget, it's National Pancake Day, so you can get free pancakes at your participating IHOP restaurant.
Now let's go get some pancakes.
It is,
why would you say that?
IHOP will give you a free short stack. And in return, they hope you'll make a little donation to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, which is a great charity. So, go get your pancakes. And
let's go get some pancakes.
Let's go get some pancakes.
Save that for 11 years. I couldn't just play it once. I knew one day pancakes would come up.
Bean won't go, though.
No.
Because Tuesday,
I absolutely will not go.
Tuesday, as you know, is IHOP day every week. And imagine Bean's he's beside himself. The fact that there will be other people in his IHOP besides him and
doesn't know what to do.
Betsy, the 87-year-old waitress who brings him coffee and pancakes.
I don't like all these goddamn hipsters that show up to get their free pancakes. Where are they the other 364 days of the year when the rest of us are at IHOP? They don't care about IHOP. They're just there for the free stuff.
No one loves IHOP, Bean.
I love IHOP.
It's fine.
It's fine. When you want pancakes and you're looking around,
no worries. There, but I'll eat there anytime. No one loves it.
I make my wife dress up in the Susie the Pancake outfit sometimes. It's the mascot
back
for
to
IHOP.
The showbiz.
It's more than anyone wanted to know. Great news about Anchorman 2. Sequel is in production, and we just found out that Kristen Wiig will be joining the cast.
Awesome.
Christina Applegate announced the news via Twitter last week, and not much information on the role Kristen will play. However, rumors have it that she will play the wife of Steve Carell's character, Brick Tamland.
Nice.
So that's a comedy 1-2 punch right there with Steve and Kristen Wiig. That would be strong. Jennifer Lawrence's boobs are uneven.
Never noticed.
Film at 11. She was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and she said she got a chest x-ray because she had been diagnosed with pneumonia. Girl's been sick a lot lately during award season. She's been, like, dragging her ass on the red carpet just with all kinds of illnesses. And discovered, when she looked at the x-ray, that her breasts were uneven. She said it disturbed her. She never knew before. Must be some sort of fix for that, isn't there?
Why wouldn't she have noticed that just getting dressed and, you know, putting on a bra and whatnot?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't stare at her breasts nearly as much as I do. Maybe that's the problem. Oh, this is spectacular. Donald Trump is at it again. You may remember when he offered to give $5 million to charity if Obama would present his birth certificate.
What do you call that? He called that a bombshell or something?
Yeah.
Remember when he was
the biggest story in the history of politics. Right. This will change the election. So he said, I will give you $5 million, Mr. President, to your favorite charity if you will present your birth certificate and prove once and for all that you are not a Kenyan. And Obama did the only adult thing you could do, which is just effing ignore that douchebag. So Bill Maher went on Jay Leno last month and did a gag where he said he would donate $5 million to charity if Trump could prove that he was not the son of an orangutan. He was not the spawn of his mother having sex with an orangutan. And now Trump says, well, you said it. Now you have to pony up because I've released my birth certificate. It proves that I was not the son of a woman and an orangutan. Now you have to give $5 million.
Really, Donald Trump doesn't have a sense of humor?
Well, do you think he does, no. Given everything you know about
Today,
him?
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
So he went on Fox and Friends yesterday, the Fox News morning show, and said he is going to sue Bill Maher for the $5 million because Bill Maher has not paid up.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
I hope he goes to court, and I hope the judge takes his gavel and hits him right in the nuts with it. Just as some Thor balls. Just you know, like I have that Thor's hammer in the office, and yeah. I hit people in the balls when they're out of line.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what the judge should do.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
You don't know, man.
I do know, man. Don't man me, man. It's Tuesday. New CDs, new DVDs, and new TV shows on DVD available. If you missed out on any of this stuff, you may want to pick it up on DVD, like Flight with Denzel Washington. That's available today. Resident Evil Retribution, the latest in the Mila Jovovich zombie battle franchise. Alex Cross, starring Tyler Perry, Matthew Fox, and Rachel Nichols. Rachel Nichols deserves better than Alex Cross. And deserves better than Bean, that's for sure.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah. Here Comes the Boom with Salma Hayek and Kevin James. Salma Hayek deserves better than Here Comes the Boom. Road to Red Rocks with Mumford & Sons. You want to check out the live concert? You can check it out on DVD. It's out today. TV shows on DVD, Southland. Complete second, third, and fourth seasons are being released. Cougar Town, complete third season. And new CDs, The Afterman, Dissension by Coheed and Cambria. Wonderful Glorious by Eels. Pedestrian Verse by Frightened Rabbit. And All That Echoes by Josh Groban. Your new CDs you can pick up.
Special bonus track edition available only at Target.
What are you, a spokesperson?
No, are you a Grobanite now, too?
What's happened?
I enjoy Josh Groban, sure. And I just, that's a nice tip, though, for people who are looking for the extra tracks. That's all.
I like to stay current.
Instead of being at IHOP today, Bean's going to be staking out the Targets to see if anybody has it for a penny less than the other Targets.
So God made a farmer.
Yeah, all right. That's what he got. God made a farmer. That's what we got.
JK!
Let's do that, JKing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live is 52 years old today. Also from Saturday Night Live, Chris Parnell, one of the funniest guys ever on that show. I love him. 46.
Is he Dr. Spaceman on 30 Rock as well?
Spaceman.
So funny.
Dr. Spaceman! Bobby Brown's 44 years old. Darren Criss of Glee is 26 years old. Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 49. Laura Linney, also 49 today. Jennifer Jason Leigh celebrates her 51st birthday. And our good friend, the adorable Miss Double December of 2013, Lux, celebrates her birthday as well. We want to wish her a very happy one. That girl likes to party.
Yes, she does.
Every tweet you read that she puts out is like, oh, in Vegas.
Oh, she's having a good time.
Someone drinking champagne out of my boot. Oh, I got to do this photo shoot in Dubai. Oh, look, they just bought me a building. Hey, look at my new motorcycle I got from this guy. So, wow, she's living quite the life.
Yes, she is.
Giant size can.
Well, there's that.
There is that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to take phone calls. Ways You Broke the News. I don't know if you've seen the cake, the I'm Gay cake.
Love the I'm Gay cake.
It's pretty great.
Seems like a strange way to break the news, but
look,
all right.
Look, why not let mom and dad know you're coming out of the closet with something sweet?
That's right.
Yeah.
Who could turn down a cake?
I feel better about any kind of news I get on a cake.
We're going to talk to Lee Rittenberg about trying to keep me out of traffic jail.
By the way, it's not traffic jail. It's regular jail, Kevin, that you're going to.
They don't have a special jail just for traffic offenders.
And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
I don't like things.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.